Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Wow, my goodness. Did you guys, I don't know if you guys heard this, but Detroit, Motown, Detroit, car industry capital, I guess. I don't know, you know, Ford and I don't know however many other car companies.
And the other ones.
My goodness. CBN News is reporting that there's a dead zone, an urban wasteland in Detroit. 50%, they're saying now, unemployment rate. The real number. And people are leaving by the droves. Police can't even guard adequately this city. I want you to listen up, and I want you to hear this segment from CBN, and listen to what they have to say, because we're going to come back and share some more about this. Listen up.
The dead zone, the walking dead, zombies. That's what they have in the movies. And you say, this is a set, a moving picture set for fiction. But there's a city in America that looks like the war zone of a third world country. And people living there are like the walking dead. I'm talking about Detroit, Michigan, one of America's most successful cities. Today it's on the brink of bankruptcy. Buildings are in ruins, and the residents who could get out are long gone. Our reporter Chuck Holton took this trip to Detroit, USA.
Some call this the dead zone, an area of near complete destruction many miles across. No schools or hospitals, and few public services. Crime is the only growth industry here, with a murder rate higher than that of Colombia. This isn't Syria, Afghanistan, or Sarajevo. It's inner city America. Welcome to Detroit.
No police, citizens are leaving because crime is very high. Those who can leave, are able to leave, they are leaving. You know, of course, there are some who cannot.
You know, it's hard to believe that there are places in the United States of America that look like this. I've been all over the world in the last 12 months, and aside from Mogadishu, I don't think I've seen any place that looks this bad. This is actually a historic building. It used to be the place where Packards and Studebakers were made. But today, it looks like a zombie apocalypse movie.
While there's plenty of disagreement on the cause, there's no question on the result. Many urban areas are becoming virtual wasteland. Here in Detroit, half of the citizens are functionally illiterate, and some city officials say the true rate of joblessness is over 50%. The city has so far avoided bankruptcy, though its long-term debt is greater than that of Zimbabwe or El Salvador. It's a vicious circle. The lack of jobs means loss of tax revenue. That has led to deep cuts in city services, including fire and police. Sergeant John Bennett has been a Detroit city cop for 16 years.
We've lost on the police department 1,000 officers that haven't been replaced in the last 5 to 6 years.
Those who remain say they can't protect the city, which now has the highest rate of violent crime in America.
How do you keep a city safe that has no tax base and the population is running out the back door, the front door, and the side door? What do you do? How do you stem that tide? What do you do to stop the bleeding?
I'm standing only about 100 yards inside the Detroit city limits, and right here I can see over a dozen homes that are either abandoned or burned out. They say here in Detroit there are over 45,000 homes like that, but the root cause may have less to do with the economic downturn and more to do with government corruption.
More government assistance hasn't helped. Several Detroit companies received bailout funds totaling nearly $100 billion. Yet Detroit still has the highest rates of poverty and welfare dependency in the nation.
I don't know how long I'm going to stay, honestly. I don't know how much longer I can hang on. Up to this point has been my commitment, my love of the city, my love of the community. This is my home. But as one of my coworkers said, you know, when she left, she said, I love the city, but it didn't love me back.
Where the government has failed, private charities are stepping in. One of the largest, Detroit Rescue Mission Ministries, provides meals and shelter for thousands of homeless every day.
The Detroit Rescue Mission Ministry started as a soup kitchen, and now we have progressed to being not only an emergency shelter, but also transitional housing, permanent housing, a treatment center for those suffering from drug and substance abuse or mental health issues, as well as we have different programs that help to rebuild the city.
These programs are making a difference for people like Dwayne Tabb, who serves as the facilities supervisor at one of the mission's campuses.
10 years ago, I came to the Detroit Rescue Mission. I was homeless. I was lost. I was drug addicted. I went into 90-day treatment. I went to school. I got an associate's degree, continued on and got a bachelor's degree, and I continued and got my master's. So I know that Detroit Rescue Mission saves lives.
In so doing, the Detroit Rescue Mission isn't just serving up food and shelter, but something better, which they believe actually has the power to turn the tide in America's inner cities.
Not only do we provide life skills to these individuals, but we also minister the Word of God, which ultimately is the crux of our mission.
From Detroit, Michigan, I'm Chuck Holton for CBN News.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, look what's happening. Look what's happened to this nation. And look what's happened to this city, though. I mean, Detroit.
Right. You got to see this. You got to see this video. I mean, it's, if you don't see what they're talking about, you're looking, it looks like a war zone, doesn't it?
War zone, 45,000 abandoned or burnt down homes.
We need to make sure this is available to you, our listeners, so you can go to VFN.com and click on the torch. You can see this video firsthand. And, I just got to tell you like it is, what God is telling us. This is the future of America. This is, if we don't repent, if the church, now I'm not talking about people who the church is blaming for the issue, but if we don't turn back to him, this is the future of America. Yeah. And the auto industry was the industry we were known for in the world.
Mm-hmm. It's called the Motor City.
Yep. Yep.
It's called the Motor City. And we have to, this is just this is a sign.
Yes, a beginning sign.
A beginning sign of
this is like the introduction to a story America is about to write. God's going to write with America if we don't write ourselves with God. I mean, they said over half of the citizens in Detroit are illiterate. I mean, how do you rebound from that? And how did that happen?
Right.
Exactly.
1,000 police officers are missing from the highest crime-rated city in the United States.
Not to mention a city that received over $100 billion in auto bailouts. You can't just throw money at a $100
billion.
Which
shows you what the ramifications of the policies that are presently happening with the values of those who are presently leading is going to lead us if we don't turn. And I really believe that, you know, who our leaders are right now are God's set men.
Yeah.
You know, to humble us. Which means this, we can turn back to God and it will just stop because God holds their heart in his hands. So he can change their heart. We shouldn't point at people. We should actually point to the cross and repent into our sin and say, God, we don't want this happening. Don't we have any compassion for our American brothers and sisters who live in Michigan and Detroit, that they're getting killed, they're getting murdered, people are fleeing from the city, that half of them can't even read now? They're reported on CBN News just then. Mm-hmm. The police officers, and it's, you know, I've been there as a police officer. You have to know that everything's behind you because you're not, you know, as we joked about earlier, you're really not Superman. The whole system has to be there. You're just a representation of this whole authority that's going to be there. Cause you can't just walk into some riot and think you're going to solve everything. You're going to be the victim of that crime, you know. Mm-hmm.
And they're experiencing more firsthand all the crime and everything that's happening, more so than some other people. Once police start leaving, what's really going to happen?
And they are. I mean, they're not. They said they're not. 1,000 of them has not been replaced. They just reported.
Yeah,
1,000. Even 1,000 officers. You know what I'm saying? For
that's huge.
That's the entire Emerald Coast, probably. No, I mean it's a significant amount of neighborhoods not being protected, and these are not like suburban neighborhoods. These are intense, stacked up people on top of people. You know, neighborhoods, and you're looking at probably the whole thing's being ran by, you know, the majority of it's being ran by government subsidies.
Yeah.
And if anything happens to that printing machine in D.C., and, you know, a mother and a father's going to do what they got to do to feed their child, I mean, things, you know, wild things are going to happen. Listen, this is not God's intention for us, but this is the consequences for us if we as the church don't say, if we just say, listen, God, we've turned into pagan. This is a pagan generation now. It's a pagan generation. You know, we're running after things that only pagans run after, and we're not even acknowledging you in our lives. And this generation, if we don't turn, understand, it's not going to be good. It's just not going to be good. And look, do you really think because you live like a prince for so long and you live like a princess for so long, they even have television shows about princesses and bridezillas, and we're just such a spoiled people that how much persecution are you going to be able to handle?
That's right.
You know, how much, you know, understand that can be stopped.
Yeah. Seems like there's two groups of people there. You know, yet you have those that are the church is ministering to those needs there, and thank God for the light that is present. But there's also a group there that's looking to leave and transition and get out of there. But you know what? If some of those people don't leave, they're not going to be able to leave. And some of them are not able to leave right now. And I think about when you and I were in the Holocaust Museum here in Manhattan.
Oh, yes. Terrible.
And all of the Jews that had the chance to leave but didn't leave, only because they did not want to leave all of their wealth and all the trappings and all the luxuries of things and stuff. And it's like things had such a hold of them.
They went from there to the ghetto, and from the ghetto to the trains, and from the trains to the camp, from the camps to the showers, from the showers, the gas showers to the furnace, from the furnace to the grave. Because they didn't want to leave their stuff. And the ones that booked it, remember, we were talking about the ones that just said, run for your life. And they went, and I believe they went through Germany. They went up somewhere, and they lived.
And so this is just really showing us, listen, it's time. It's time to return back to God. It's time to repent. And just what we were talking about earlier, my goodness, you know, God is speaking, God's voice. You want to be able to listen, hear God's voice and obey what he tells you to do, and keep Detroit, the people of Detroit, in your prayers.
Yes.
Keep them in your prayers, because we want every single one of them to turn to God. Let me tell you something. It's not over for Detroit. Right now, those people can cry out to God and say, listen, government has failed us. We've put our hope in things and stuff and monies and all these other trappings, but we need to put our hope and our trust in God. And Detroit can turn one of two ways. It can go further down, or it can be a beacon of light to say, listen, this is what happens when you turn your heart to God. God will take you from the lowest and make you a city on a hill that the whole country will look at, so that, you know, there's a choice to be made.
And it's so important to understand that that's what this is all about. God is wanting us to turn back to him, to turn back to him. So don't think that God is bringing down eternal wrath on America.
Right.
He's allowing hardship to come upon America, treating us as sons, the church's sons, so that we would turn back to him. And he has a lot of hardship that he can loose on us. Why not we just turn now while we've seen what's happening? This is not some foreign land. These are our brothers and sisters in America. And so, to me, the spirit of America is just like this young little girl when I said, do you feed him? And she was disassociated from the reality. There was a disconnect. There was a disconnect from any empathy. There was no empathy at all. And she says, no, I don't. She didn't feed her own dog that was wandering in the neighborhood. And Americans, you know, the church has got a disconnect going on. And they're not connected and feeling and being empathetic towards those that are suffering.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk more about this after the break. You listen to VFN Radio. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.